This morning, I'd like to speak a little bit on thankfulness. We're a ways away from Thanksgiving, but it's a good reminder at all times of the year. So if you've watched any news or listened or watched any news lately, you'll notice that there's a lot of unhappy, disgruntled, and outright angry people out there in the world today. Some countries have imprisoned or assassinated their leaders, causing outbreaks of serious violence of all kinds. Others have rigged their elections this way and then the next time the other way. Israel has had numerous elections in the last couple of years, and I don't know if they've fully resolved that yet. And in our country, labor groups are fighting with the government, different people groups accusing each other of wrongdoing, and then throw in a disease that has individuals, families, and even churches fighting amongst themselves. All this turmoil leads to frustration, anger, a whole lot of complaining. Now, what does God ask us to do when these things come along? Doesn't he ask us to be thankful? And not just sometimes, but in all circumstances? In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, this is what it says there. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, sorry. So that's what God asks us to do no matter what's going on. So are we thankful for in all things? We maybe don't have to be thankful for bad things happening to us, but in it, God still is the same. Do we thank the people around us for doing different jobs, either at work or in the church? Do we thank them for these jobs? Or do we complain when it's not done to our satisfaction? Do we thank God for the people in our lives, for our salvation, for our families, for the material needs that God supplies for us? Or am I only thankful when my bank account is getting bigger, or when I'm able to go on a holiday, or when my freezer is overflowing? I have to admit, thankfulness hasn't been on the tip of my tongue lately either. On our farm, we're going through the fifth year in a row of drought, with this year being the worst. And quite frankly, I'm getting a little bit tired of these conditions. Sometimes I ask myself, what did I do to deserve these conditions? The question that I should be asking is, what did I do not to deserve this? Who do I or we think we are that we should never receive any hardships of this world? And if you look back through history, these things that we go through now pale in comparison to what people have gone through in the past. If you look at people who lived through the 30s in the Oklahoma Panhandle in the States, they endured drought there for over a decade in some of those places. Spanish flu went through in the early 1900s, and that was horrible at that time. And if we look in our Bibles, the disciples, who were righteous men, most of them were martyred for their faith. Well, we haven't had to endure any of that. Further back, Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, got to Egypt, refused the requests of Potiphar's wife, was wrongly accused, spent time in Pharaoh's dungeons, and was forgotten there until God brought him out, only then to place him as Pharaoh's second in command. And remember, Joseph was a righteous man in God's eyes, in God's eyes. Now let us go a little further back to Job. He was also blameless and upright in the eyes of God. So we know in the account of Job that God allowed Satan to test Job twice. The first time, Satan was allowed to kill Job's family and his servants and have his livestock stolen and all his worldly possessions taken from him, because Satan thought Job would curse God to his face once his blessings were taken away. But is that what happened? No. Job, his response to these tragedies in Job 1, verses 20 through 22, says, at this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. So he fell down and worshiped God after all this had happened to him. Now on the second test, God allowed Satan to afflict Job's body. Satan thought, well, this would be the straw that broke the camel's back, and that Job would surely curse God and die. But when his wife came to Job and suggested that exact thing, that he should curse God and die, he said to her in Job 2, verse 10, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Should we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. And we have to remember, these weren't just a few open sores that he had and he wasn't feeling well. These were festering sores from top to bottom, nightmares, scabs that peeled and became black, disfigurement and revolting appearance, bad breath, excessive thinness, fever, and pain night and day. And in all this, he did not curse God. Even when Job mistakenly accused God of dealing with him unjustly, Job still conversed openly and honestly with God on a personal level. In contrast, the counselors who presumed to know why Job was suffering spoke only about God, and their spiritual arrogance caused them to claim knowledge they did not possess. So if we had to endure like Job, would we curse God? Would we accuse God of wrongdoing? We need to talk to God through prayer constantly. And then we need to receive his answers that come through his word. For God is our victory. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57, it says exactly that. "Death has been swallowed up by victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have to be thankful for each other in times of hardship, and thankful always, for God is our refuge. If we go into Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, the Lord speaks to us here by saying, "Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ." So let's remember, when we make our lofty requests for health, or rain, or food, or wealth, or wisdom, that we need always to be talking to God openly and honestly, and always thankfully. Because if we don't converse with God in the good times, he won't know who we are when we're desperate for help in the hard times. God wants us to have a relationship with him always. I'd like to close by reading in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.